The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
What's up, everybody? I'm Najee Adams.
And I'm Hunter Jacobs.
And you're listening to the Hoop Bowl Nets podcast. So we're back again, the both of us. We're recording over Skype this time. We are not together, but the both of us are here and present for the podcast because the last one was just me, and then like the two before that were Hunter, and then the last one before that was me. But we're back again, and we're ready to talk about the Nets' last three games, two of them being against the Celtics, one of them being against the Heat. But we hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving, and let's get into the intro. Make sure you subscribe to the Hoop Bowl Nets podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Just search up Brooklyn Nets and 9 times out of 10, we will come up. Just hit that subscribe button. If you're listening on iTunes, leave a 5-star rating and review because all reviews do get read on the podcast. And speaking of reviews, we actually have two. This is our 51st and 52nd review, so we're actually finally over 50 reviews, which is crazy. The first one is by Dave W4304. It is titled Great Energy. It's a 5-star. With the energy these guys are bringing, it's easy to see it's not just smoke and mirrors. Real fans of the Nets, great content and next level energy, number one Nets podcast. We truly do appreciate it because that's what we're trying to be, the number one Nets podcast. And we hope that everyone else that's listening to this truly agrees with that and believes that. The next one is from Goobs44. They say, never regret a listen. It's another 5-star. The Nets had a free agency jackpot this summer, but still have much to learn as they integrate all-stars alongside an up-and-coming core. If you want the insider perspective from true Nets fans, this is your best spot. Yet again, we do appreciate you for leaving this review. We try and give our honest to God opinions on the Nets. Keep it real, keep it simple, and just get you guys content. So we hope everyone enjoys listening. Shout out to Hawaiian House Kona Coffee Company, the sponsor of this podcast and every other Hoop Ball podcast. Hawaiian House Kona Coffee Company, you can check out their website at hawaiianisles.com, on Amazon by searching for Hawaiian Isles Kona Coffee Company, or on Twitter at Hi Kona Coffee. That's Kona with a K, so it's HIKONA Coffee. Boom. So let's get into the actual games. So the last time I recorded this, the Nets were like in the middle of playing the Celtics for the first time. It was the day before Christmas, or the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. And they actually did end up losing 110 to 121.
Yeah, a lot of the talk from this game was how Kemba Walker had 39 to Kyrie Irving 0.
What? He didn't that, even you, play.
Wait, you didn't see the press conference headline?
No. What did it say?
During Kemba's interview, it said Kemba Walker outscored Kyrie Irving 39-0.
Weren't there like signs? There were signs of him outside of the garden of like him like missing or like coward. Like Celtics fans really hate Kyrie.
I mean, there's a great reason for them to.
I don't think that there is, but
there is a big reason for them to. It's from your perspective, it's as if Anthony Davis was so happy to play with LeBron, and then suddenly, boom, he's on the Bulls.
I mean,
then what? Then what? Then how do you feel? You still love him?
Hey, I mean, I won't have to worry about that. But I don't think that. I think it's different because Kyrie actually gave you good years, though. Like, how many game winners did Kyrie get?
We made the conference finals game 7 without him.
Okay, and you lost. So what does it matter?
We got farther without him. What years did he give us?
So you really think that y'all are a better team without Kyrie?
You see it this year, buddy. I told you we'd have a better record with Kemba than with Kyrie, and you said I was crazy. In fact, we definitely do have a better record right now at 14-5.
I don't think there's any way that you can argue that. Kemba is better than Kyrie. I don't think you can argue that.
Not better. He makes the Celtics better.
But why, though? Why? Based on what? They do the same things.
Better positivity in the locker room.
Oh, positivity, schmozitivity. That means nothing.
Yeah, it means a whole lot, if we're being honest, because the teams that have the right attitude are the teams that go farther.
Think that Kyrie just being there, just his pure presence, just dragged the Celtics down?
Last year was a clown show. It was horrendous.
So what about the Nets? He seems perfectly fine on the Nets. So maybe it was the Celtics. Maybe y'all are the problem.
Multiple years before this happened.
Oh, so you think that eventually Kyrie will just ruin this team as well?
Already, their spirits are already not nearly as high as they were with D'Angelo Russell, and that's a fact.
I mean, because I feel like it's a different team with a different goal. Like, last year, there were no expectations. Like, whatever they came out and did, we were happy with. They dropped 40 wins. We're like, okay, this is above whatever we thought they were going to do. But this year, people came into the season with expectations because they have Kyrie and KD who won't even suit up this year. And now they're 10-10, and people feel like they're not as good as they should be. So I feel like that's why the mood is down, not because of Kyrie. He hasn't even been playing.
So I know what your answer to this is going to be, but do you believe that it is possible what many people speculate, that Kyrie's injury is not as serious as
there is mentioned? Absolutely no way that that's true. That is not true. If that is true, I would drop Kyrie from the roster. I would just waive him because there's no way that he would. That can't be true. I refuse to believe that. Do you actually believe that?
It's not that I believe it. I think he is hurt, but I think he is also happy that it happened at this time because I believe he'd prefer not to play the Celtics.
I think he would rather play the Celtics and drop 50. On the Celtics.
Nope. Maybe Damian Lillard would.
Oh my God. There's no way that Kyrie's injury is dragged. There's no way. He would not sit here and get
I'm telling you, hurt. But I think he's. I think he would. I don't know how to word it. It's like, I believe he thinks in his head that this was at the right time. That's my opinion.
So when he was so the Nets are gonna see the Celtics again, probably maybe even in the playoffs, he's gonna 50 bomb the Celtics.
Okay, if he gets 50 and they lose, what difference does it make? The rest of the team has to consistently show up around him.
He's
averaging 28 a game when he plays, and they're still not winning.
I hope that it is game 7 of the Eastern Conference semis and he hits a game winner.
If they're playing, they're playing in the first round.
Well, that's even better because then he bounces you. Oh, they're in the conference finals. He bounces you in the first round. Actually, I hope.
There's almost no shot that the Nets would beat us.
I hope number 7 suits up, boy.
The net second best player does not sniff Jason Tatum.
Until number seven throws on a jersey. And then you have no chance.
Not playing. Look, the Nets can easily turn it around, and they're going to make the playoffs regardless. There's no shot they don't make the playoffs. But they're not going to reach their full potential until KD plays. It's simple.
I keep forgetting that they have KD just waiting. Like, it's like the best player in basketball, which I would honestly say KD is the best NBA player in the world, just sitting on the bench waiting to come out and average 38-7. Like, that is...
All right, that's a large number.
But... Okay, 28-8-7.
Okay, yeah, that's better. Oh, you said 30.
Nah, not... not 38 points.
38? I was like, bro, what?
Nah. KD's not coming out averaging 40 off an Achilles, ACL, no, an Achilles injury. Okay.
Honestly, the Nets have a great future, but this year is probably not it. It's just a fact. They're going to make the playoffs. They're going to fight, and they're going to prove to KD that they're ready for him next year.
That's what last year was about, proving that they're ready.
No. Last year was proving that Kyrie and KD are worthy of this roster, which they are. And now this year's proving to KD that they're ready to take over with him next year.
We have spent the first 11 minutes just talking about nothing. We bought up the game and just started rambling about KD and Kyrie. Well,
about this game. The Nets and Celtics both shot 44%. They both shot 38% from three. But the Celtics shot 92% from the line to the Nets 47%.
Yeah, that is not a good... The fact that they went 9 of 19 is just like, how? Can we not do this again with the whole free throw game? If the Nets make, 70% of their free throws, this is a much, much closer game. They lost by what? 11?
They lost by 11. They got outplayed in the second half. They dominated the second quarter. The Nets scored 40 in the second quarter. But they got outscored every other quarter. They got out-rebounded for the game.
They got badly out-rebounded.
And they lost the turnover battle 17-14.
They got out-rebounded 55-38. How?
They also had two technical fouls.
Yeah. Which is just not...
Wait, got rebounded what?
They got out-rebounded 55-38.
No, 63-53.
What are you looking at?
I'm looking at the ESPN box score.
And I'm looking at the NBA.com box score.
The Celtics got 63 rebounds.
It says they got 55.
I don't know what's going on. Oh, okay.
What?
That makes sense.
Okay. What happened?
So ESPN indeed counts team rebounds, which is kind of stupid. But
yeah, which is why you don't look at the ESPN box score, kid.
So it was 55-38 in terms of player rebounds.
Yeah, they got out rebounded 55-38, which is crazy because Daniel Theis.
Enes Kanter and Daniel Theis had 9 offensive rebounds.
Like, what? How?
At 11. That's not right.
Enes
Kanter also had 4 steals.
And that's... Daniel Theis. Like, the. It's not like we're playing Joel Embiid or Nikola Jokic or Anthony Davis.
Well, I will say the perimeter defense in this game was horrendous by the Nets. The fact that you let Kemba and Jaylen Brown have 51 on 22 of 39 shooting.
I mean, Jaylen Brown started at the 4. That's cheating.
No, the 3. The 3.
Who starts at the 4?
Jason Tatum.
The NBA.com box score said that he started at the three.
No, that's wrong. Jaylen Brown's the three. Marcus Smart's the two.
Yeah, it says Kemba. Yeah, it says that, but switch Jaylen and Tatum.
And you let Brad Wanamaker have 13 on 5 of 7 shooting off the bench. So the perimeter defense was not good.
I mean, they held Tatum to 20 to 30% shooting. Marcus Smart was three of eight.
Tatum shooting is not an impressive thing to hold down. The guy's shot selection is awful.
Oh yeah, because he's bad.
Not true. That's not an accurate statement.
Looking at the Nets box score, he is bad. Joe Harris dropped 21 points in 26 minutes. Old reliable, 8 of 13 from the field, 5 of 9 from 3, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks. Our boy.
Spencer Dinwiddie, worst game since he's been starting, but he's given a pass. He's been on a tear. 16 points, 11 assists, 5 of 19 shooting. Jared Allen, good but bad game. Good in that he had 17 points, 14 rebounds, 5 offensive rebounds and a block, 6 of 8 shooting. Bad, he shot 5 of 12 from the free throw line.
Yeah, see, when you're going to go to the free throw line that much, you got to convert. On more than 41.7%. You have to. Yeah, like 8 would have been a good number. I would have let 8 slide, but 5 of 12... that can't happen. Garrett Temple, he dropped 22 points. He took 12 threes, and he took 14 shots. So he only took 2 shots that were not threes. He hit 6 of those threes and didn't do much else. He had 2 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. I mean, the main – Garrett Temple's main value comes from his ability to shoot threes. So if he's not shooting threes, if he's not on for the night, he's probably not going to have more than 5 points. And then Taurean Prince, who I've been expecting much more out of.
Yes, he's relegating himself to sharpshooter, and he's like not even efficiently doing that.
Yeah,
I'm not knocking him because I know he's a good player. He's doing this to himself, in my opinion, by shooting so many threes.
And like every shot he took this game was a three. He took 10 threes, 10 shots, hit 4 of them, had 12 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist, 3 turnovers. And the worst on the team, negative 14. I think maybe some of it comes from the fact that like he's not in his primary position. Like he's not a power forward. So playing him at power forward, although the Nets don't really have many other options, probably isn't the best for his development. But like I said, like he's going to have to deal with it because we don't have many other options. And no one else off the Nets bench had more than 10. David Nwaba, my boy, finally got some playing time. He dropped 10 points.
And made use of it, too.
Exactly. He dropped 10 points on 4 or 5 shooting, hit 2 threes, 1 rebound, 1 assist, 2 steals. Like, come on. Dave, he had the highest plus minus on the team with a plus 3. I mean, that's not great, but it says something. David Nwaba and Iman Shumpert both played 19 minutes. Iman Shumpert in those 19 minutes, every shot he took was a 3. He only hit 1 of them. He managed to get 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and 1 steal. But I still think David Nwaba is the better guy to play. Or I would even say you could play them together, but there's no way that Iman Shumpert should be getting more minutes than David Nwaba. When we're looking at Boston, Hunter really went over them already. Kemba 40 bombed us. He had 39, but we might as well call it a 40 bomb. And then Jaylen Brown had 22 on 9 of 15 shooting. Jason Tatum didn't shoot well because he's bad. Daniel Theis, 14 points, 8 rebounds. No one else really did too much. Marcus Smart, 3 of 8 shooting, 10 points, 35 minutes. The Nets lost. But then they had a nice Thanksgiving meal, came back on Friday, and they beat the Celtics by what? 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. That's 5. They won 112 to 107. Their biggest lead was 15. The Celtics' biggest lead was 1, and there was only 2 lead changes. the Nets were in control of this game for the majority of it. They did win the turnover battle for once, 19-18. They managed to out-rebound the Celtics, 49-48. They shot 76.2% from... No, that is the Celtics. They shot 69.2% from the free throw line, while the Celtics shot 76.2% from the free throw line. So still not great shooting, but they only shot 13 compared to the Celtics 21, so I'll take 9 of those. And then they dominated the Celtics from 3, 41.5% from 3 to the Celtics 32.1%. And they also shot a better field goal percentage, 46.2 to 44.1. It's crazy to me that literally, what, a day and a half before this, they got out-rebounded by like almost 20, and then they somehow win by one in this one. If we're looking at, I guess we can start with the Nets since we started with the Celtics before. Spencer Dinwiddie, he made up for his lackluster performance.
Down the back, 32 points, 11 assists again. He knocked down 6 of 8 threes. 2 steals, 2 blocks. He did everything in this game.
Yeah, he played very, 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 very well. Well, let me ask you this, because I was thinking about this. Should he go back to the bench when the Nets are healthy? Like, should he go back to the bench when Kyrie comes back?
Look, honestly, when Kyrie's on the court, he's not going to get the ball as much as you'd want. So, yes.
Yeah, I mean... I don't know. It's tough because he was Eastern Conference Player of the Week. He's playing really well.
I think Kyrie plays about 33 minutes. He plays the 15 that Kyrie's out, plus about 10 together at the end of half and to close out a game.
I think he'll be somewhere around probably like 28 to 30 minutes a night.
I don't know.
I can't, especially without Karis, I can't see.
I know, it is hard to justify not giving him minutes.
It's hard.
He loves Garrett Temple in his 37 minutes. So.
Also, Wilson Chandler comes back December 15th. That's in like...
Is Wilson Chandler going to play more than 10 minutes per game?
They have to drop somebody. Who are they going to drop?
If they don't drop
Henry Ellenson, I swear to God.
I don't know what is the deal with them keeping this guy.
People keep saying, like, oh, it's between Shumpertin and Waba and Theo Pinson. Why would you not just drop Henry Ellenson?
Or Timothy Luwawu Cabaret.
Like, I don't know why in Waba, Shumpert, or Theo, I would be very angry if Theo you Pinson.
Theo Pinson? Oh, boy.
If they drop Theo Pinson, we're rioting. Because... if it's between Theo Pinson and Iman Shumpert, Iman Shumpert's got to go. Because we already have Iman Shumpert and David Nwaba. So I don't understand why we wouldn't just keep Theo Pinson. Wilson Chandler.
David Nwaba, DNPCD.
And yet Iman Shumpert plays.
20 minutes, 4 of 8 from the field, 9 points. 1 steal.
Yeah, he played well. He didn't play bad. I mean, I don't think Iman Shumpert's a bad player.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm really disappointed in Old Reliable from a season-long perspective.
Yeah, he hasn't been great. He has not been great whatsoever. After going from shooting the highest percentage from 3 in the NBA and winning the 3-point contest.
And I mean, he's still at 44%. It's not bad at all. It just feels like there's a little something different from last year. Is it just me?
No, I feel the same way because we gave him the nickname Old Reliable for a reason.
He's averaging more points than last year. It's just it doesn't feel to me as he's as knocked down as he was last year.
And maybe it's just because like we look at these like we watch the games and when he shoots it, I don't have the same confidence that I did last year.
Yeah.
Like in the Heat game that we're going to talk about, don't get me wrong, he was lights out. And like I said in the last podcast, like you keep him on the floor because he's a threat regardless of whether or not he's hitting. Because all it takes is one. But like there's something different. I can't put my finger on it either, but I know exactly what you're talking about. He went...
Prince again, 4 of 10 from 3, by the way. 16 points, 4 rebounds, 16 shots.
Yeah. The fact that he took 10 threes yet again, like, why is that just his... Like, Torian Prince can do much more than just shoot threes. He's way more capable of doing other things. Jared Allen, 25 minutes, 14 points, 11 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block.
The story for the Celtics in this game was Kemba went down to 17 points on 19 shots. Jaylen Brown went down to 8 points on 8 shots. And then you have Tatum, who scored 26, 9 rebounds, 4 steals, 10 of 19 shooting.
Yeah, I mean, it was great perimeter defense from the Nets. They came back and played very, very well. They didn't let Daniel Theis and Enes Kanter get 20,000 offensive rebounds.
Enes Kanter still had 4, but actually the Celtics had 16 offensive rebounds.
That's like his thing, though. Like, that's Enes Kanter's thing. Like, he gets offensive rebounds.
If you saw him against the Knicks, I don't know if you happened to catch that game, he was having his way with Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah, I mean, it was a revenge game for him.
Yes, and he revenged, indeed.
I think Marcus Smart, I think they did a good job on him. Granted, he's not the greatest shooter to begin with, but 4 of 13 from the field, pretty good defense. In the game before, they played very good defense on him as well because he went, 3 of 8? So they locked up Marcus Smart.
No, the Celtics were plus 13 in Tatum's 37 minutes. In the 11 minutes that he sat, they were minus 18.
You know who else played? Your lovely star, Mr. Carson Edwards. 3 points on 1 of 5 shooting. Woo!
I don't have anything to say.
Who's better, Carson Edwards or Theo Pinton?
Better in what? Better at what?
Who's the better NBA player?
NBA player Carson Edwards.
What? Oh my god. Theo Pinto was dropping 30 a night in the G League last year.
Hey, you put Carson in the G League, he's a bucket.
Oh wow. That's something. You're something. And then
also the Celtics have a player. I don't know if you've heard of him. Tremont Waters.
No. Who is that?
He went to LSU, and we picked him late in the second round in this draft. And he is a great two-way player. He played the other day for the first time, and I was watching. Just wanted to put that out there. He's really nice. Some other team's going to pick him up because we're not going to use him, and then he's going to be nice.
Maybe the Nets will pick him up.
Tremont Waters.
Yeah, the name to watch is Tremont Waters. But yeah, this is a good game. The fact that we were able to beat the Celtics without Kyrie, I think that means something. I think in some way the Nets really tried super hard for Kyrie just so that, you know, we can get one over the Celtics. And the fact, like I'm saying, like the fact that we did it without him.
Did you see the nice embrace between the Celtics teammates and Kyrie after the game?
Yeah, which just proves my point that things couldn't have been that bad, buddy.
Look, it was awful in the time being, but it's one of those things you look back on and be like, man, we did have some good times too. And then it's all fine. He's not there anymore, so.
Yeah, he's not there, and Nets still managed to win. So Celtics, yet again, are bad.
Total the numbers, the Celtics won the 2 games by 5.
So. Okay, but good thing that's not how basketball works.
Yeah.
So then the Nets went on to lose to the Heat 109-106.
Embarrassing.
This was embarrassing because the Heat were down by 7 with not 8 minutes to go, not 10 minutes to go. No, a minute 45. 1 minute and 45 seconds. And the Nets had a 7-point lead with 106 points. And the last minute and 45 seconds, the Nets didn't score a single point, and the Heat managed to win 109-106.
The last bucket was a Joe Harris 3, and before that, around 4 minutes, was another clutch Dinwiddie 3. Like, they showed the nice highlights, but what they didn't show is that the Nets went stagnant for the last almost 4 minutes of the game other than those shots.
And that is where they need Kyrie Irving. They have Kyrie in this game. That does not happen.
So, although plus minus sometimes is flawed, it's really important to note that this man, Garrett Temple.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, minus 19.
That's what I'm saying, bro.
No one else had lower than a minus 7. No one really had less than a minus 3.
His value is solely based on whether or not he is knocking down threes.
Because if he hit 5 of his 8 threes, let's say, it would have been a minus 7.
He was 1 of 8 from 3, 3 of 12 from the field, 34 minutes, which tied a team high, had 7 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. 6 rebounds and 5 assists is very good. But the shooting percentages, that is horrific.
Same thing. It's like Taurean Prince. 9 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, 3 block. Good stat line overall. But 3 of 14 shooting, 2 of 9 from 3.
Over his last 3 games, he has taken
29 threes.
And made what? 10 of them? 10 of them.
35%. It's like 34-35%.
Like, he can, like, I am going to keep saying this, he can do much more than just shoot threes. Jared Allen, oh, this wasn't his best game. 24 minutes, 4 points, 12 rebounds, 2 assists, 5 personal fouls. So that kind of ruined his minutes. And then DeAndre Jordan played 23. He made up for Jared Allen's slack. He put up 15 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal on 7 of 8 shooting. Now,
question. Do you think DeAndre Jordan and Jared Allen will share the court for more than 10 minutes throughout the entire season?
No. Barring like some catastrophic injuries to their big men, which they already don't have many of, no. Because that just makes the Nets very, very easy to guard. Like, there's no spacing. There's absolutely no spreading of the floor. They both can't shoot worth a lick. So you can leave. They're both going to just sit in the paint. While, yeah, you'll have two big bodies, like, they're going to be way too easy to guard if both of them are in the court at the same time. Zhanan Musa played 12 minutes. He was only 0 of 1. David Nwaba, my boy, played 18 minutes, had 10 points on 4 of 7 shooting, 2 rebounds, and a +2 plus minus. He did his thing. Iman Shumpert, on the other hand, played 16 minutes, had 2 points on 1 of 5 shooting, and 1 assist and a block.
Okay, so now after we've done these games, it's time to bring up my point. After seeing him over the past 2 weeks, with the Portland Trail Blazers.
Oh, I know where you're going with this one.
Did the Nets make a mistake not signing Melo?
I'm going to answer that. Before I do, let me just inform our readers about the Bruce letter. Folks, we have a very special announcement. Our founder, the great Aaron Brewski, has decided to write an email newsletter for the 2019-2020 season. Exclusive content you cannot find anywhere else. It's not on the website. It's not on any podcast, including this one. It's not on social media. It's only in the email newsletter, and you can sign up to get it for free. Just go to hoop-ball.com/newsletter and sign up in 10 seconds, literally 10 seconds. Just type in hoopball in your Google search bar, go to the website, and it'll come up on the bottom of the screen. Put in your email, you're done. Again, the site is hoop-ball.com/newsletter. Aaron Brewski, straight to your inbox every week. Enjoy. Now, do I think we missed out on Melo? Honestly, the man is coming off a Western Conference Player of the Week. Over his last 5, he's averaging 19 points and 6.4 rebounds. He's starting at the 4. And what have I always said since we started this podcast? What do the Nets need? A stretch 4. Now, can Melo shoot the lights out from 3? Absolutely not. But I mean, he can get rebounds. He's physical, more physical than Taurean Prince. And he's got some veteran savvy moves that Taurean Prince just doesn't have. Also, if we had Melo, we could bring Taurean Prince off the bench, which would be pretty good, so he could play his primary position. I think honestly that we did miss out on Melo. I don't know why we didn't sign him. He's not bad. Like, he's better than Iman Shumpert.
Just remember. Do you remember who told you that they should sign Melo?
Okay, first of all, before I give you your little credit, I just want to say, why did we sign Iman Shumpert when we already had Iman Shumpert, a.k.a. David and Waba, instead of signing Melo?
Are you a commercial for David and Waba?
No, but, like, think about it. Like, we already had the same player. We signed the same exact man twice, basically. So, why, instead of signing Melo, who would fill a need for us...
So, bringing up my analytical numbers. A majority of Melo's seasons, he had a better on-court rating than the team did. The team had a better rating with him on the court than off the court. And it seems as though that the one season with the Rockets really damaged people's opinion of him. Because you look back when he was with the Thunder in 2017, 2018. It was a +5 rating with him on the court, +0.2 with him off the court. Better with him on the court. The Rockets, -12 with him on the court, +6 with him off the court, -18 on off. That hurt his reputation in such a way that people fail to realize he's still capable of +10 on the court, -3 off the court with the Blazers, +13 overall net rating.
I don't care. All of those stats prove that we should have signed Melo. But there's no one in this world that can tell me Melo's not better than Iman Shumpert. Like, what? Like, and what? I don't want to hear that he fills a need. Because he doesn't. What, like, what need does he fill that David and Waba couldn't fill when we could have signed Melo, had a nice stretch, let me not call him nice, but had a serviceable stretch four, bring Torian Prince off the bench, or we could maybe start Melo one game, start Torian Prince the other game based on matchups. Like, give us some flexibility. And then when Wilson Chandler comes back, we can throw different looks at teams whenever we feel like.
And also, Melo is not bad at guarding power forwards, for the record.
He's a big guy. Like, he's a big guy. He's like, Torian Prince is pretty slim. Melo's got some meat on his bones. Like, he can guard a power forward. And he's shooting.
The thing is, he's averaging 18-6.
Exactly. He's shooting 46.2% from the field, which would be the highest since he was in New York in 2010. Like, he's shooting 37% from three, which is good. It's good. Very serviceable, which would be the highest since he was in New York in 2013. He's playing very, very well. And the Nets, along with probably every other contending team in the NBA, probably should have signed him before because the Blazers did.
The Blazers just shot back into West playoff contention.
They just went on like a 5-win streak.
They shot back into West playoff contention.
Like, he's been, not carrying, but it's crazy what I'm about to say, but he's been their best player. And they have Damian Lillard on their roster. Like, Melo's been very good. Granted, it's only been 6 games, so he very well could go back to being trash. But as of right now, it looks like we missed out, along with 30 other teams. Or, 28 other teams in signing Carmelo.
Yeah. I was a firm believer that they should have signed Melo. I was saying that for the longest time.
No, you did. You did. I remember when we were talking about Joe Johnson or Melo, you were saying Melo.
It was obvious to me that Melo was not as bad as everyone was making him out to be.
He has the highest offensive rating of his entire career right now. Like, what? How did we not sign him? I just don't get. I can't justify signing Shumpert over Melo, especially when KD and Kyrie were lobbying to sign Melo. I think that was an error on the Nets front office. I don't know whether or not maybe they bought Melo in for a workout and it didn't go too well. I don't know what it is. But he should be a net. He should be a net over.
He has not had a season of shooting 46% since 2008. And he is doing this.
Yeah, I mean, I just can't. To answer your question, yes. I think the Nets missed out on not signing Melo. And with that, we're going to hop up out of here. But before we go, let me get to my game. If you don't know what this is, basically every podcast I give Hunter a random letter and he has to tell me an NBA player with that whose first name starts with that letter. So let's go with I'm looking at my Stranger Things poster right now. So let's go with D for Dustin.
Daryl Dawkins.
I was thinking Dwayne Wade.
Daryl Dawkins.
And with that, we're going to conclude the Hoopball Nets podcast. Make sure you subscribe on Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Search up Brooklyn Nets. We shall come up. Leave a 5-star rating and review on the podcast app. All reviews are getting read on the podcast. They do so much for our show, and we really do appreciate them. And they only take like 5 minutes of your time. Not even 5 minutes, like 2 minutes, maybe a couple seconds. Follow the Hoopball Nets podcast on Twitter. We finally hit 100 followers, so congrats to us. You can look us up at Hoopball Nets. Individually, I'm at Najee_Adams_, and Hunter is at Hunter_JKR. Our Twitters are in the little description of the podcast, so you can just click there. Yet again, shout out to Hawaiian Al's Kona Coffee Company for sponsoring this podcast and every other Hoopball podcast. And with that, we'll see you all next time.
This has been a Hoopball presentation.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.